Amen. Amen. Church, before you take a seat, say hi to a few people around you. Say hi to those around you. Give them a high five. Tell them happy Memorial Day. Tell them we love you. Tell them Jesus loves you. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Say hi to more people. Say hi to more people. Come on, a few more, a few more. Yes. Say I love you. Say Jesus loves you. Woo, nice. I love it. I love it. I love it. Good to see you guys. Kids ministry, once again, you are dismissed. You are dismissed. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. You look good, church. Hey, how about this beautiful weather? Can we thank God for yes? Can we thank God for this beautiful weather? I'm over the rain and the cold, y'all. I'm over it. I'm over the rain and the cold. Can we also say hello to all of our online family? Say hello to our online family for us, online family. Thank you for being here. Hey, happy Memorial Day to each and every one of you guys. Hey, I want to say thank you to all the brave men and women who have served and who have dedicated themselves to protecting this country. We're just so thankful for everyone in that regard. America's a wonderful place to live, and I'm thankful and proud to be an American, and I'm proud to be a part of something so special. And so today we are going to continue in our series. Before we get there, I want you to mark your calendars. January. I don't know why I just keep saying January. June 7th. We are having our parking lot service right out there. Parking lot service June 7th. Coming on up, which means on that day, we will have our 11 o'clock only service. So if you're here at 9:30, you're going to be help setting up. Just to let you know, right? Thank you, GP. You'll be helping set up chairs and tents, but we will be having 11 o'clock service. But we also will be having baptisms that day as well. Super excited for baptisms. I mean, you don't sound excited, but I'm excited. I get excited when people say yes to Jesus. And so we'll be celebrating that. If you are someone who is interested in baptism or you want to know more about baptism, there is a class that is happening after this service. Our good friend Pastor Theo is going to be leading a group of people, just like a 20-25 minute meeting, just talking about what baptism is, what it means, what it's not, and kind of what the steps look like after baptism as well. Again, if that's you, join us after this service. If you can't and you need to scoot on out because you got family and friends coming over or you're going over there, we do have another meeting same time next Sunday that Pastor Theo will be leading as well. So make sure you guys, again, if you're interested or you know someone, make sure you get them connected in that type of way. A lot of things coming up. Make sure you download the Christ Church app. That's the best way to stay up to date on everything that is going on here at the church. Today, we're going to be continuing in our sermon series. We started last week, our sermon series called Talking to Jesus. Talking to Jesus. And the main question we've been talking about, the main question we've been diving into more and more is, what happens when broken people meet Jesus? What happens when broken people talk to Jesus? Hence why we call it talking to Jesus. What happened when inconsistent people, broken people, backsliders, what happens when they meet Jesus? So we've been walking through this series, and today we're going to be planting in the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 is where we're going to be at. I'm going to read all these verses. We're just going to read verses 31 to 37. After I'm done reading, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord, in which you respond. Thanks be to God. So here we go. Mark chapter 7. Very, very interesting passage we're going to read today. Mark chapter 7. Verse 31 to 37. And it reads like this. Then Jesus left the region of Tyre, and he went through Sidon and the Sea of Galilee into the region of Decapolis. Verse 32. Some people brought to him a man who was deaf and hardly able to speak, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on him. So Jesus took him aside privately, away from the crowd. He put his fingers into this man's ears, and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened and his tongue was released and he began to speak plainly. And Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they proclaimed it. The people were utterly astonished and said, he has done all things well. He makes even the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, these are not just words we're reading. This is your heart we're looking into. Help us to discover your heart today. Help us to see who you are through Christ himself. God made man. God in flesh. The incarnate one. Lord, we need truth today. We can't find truth anywhere. Not inward, not anything outside, not in anyone, but only in you. You embody truth. You're the creator of all truth. So Lord, help us not just to know truth. Help us to walk in it as well. We're not here just to be informed. We're here to be transformed by your word, by Christ, the living word, the true word. So Lord, help us today. Many of us, Father, we are people who are desperate, people who are in need, people who are broken. But you are the God who meets us, who knows us, but also restores us. So help us, Lord. Grant us your grace. It's in your Son's perfect and wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, we are in this series. I love this series. People always ask me, what do I draw inspiration for sermon series? I just say, whatever I'm struggling with, I just bring it to you guys on Sunday. That's kind of where I get my inspiration. And I think about this idea of talking to Jesus. What happens when jacked up people meet Jesus? What happens when broken people talk to Jesus? Not too long ago, my wife and I, we bought our sons fishing rods, little Spider-Man fishing rods. Oh, they're so cool. They were from Walmart. They're a little expensive, like $25. Like, all right, relax now. Like, why are these things so expensive? But we bought them fishing rods, and, you know they're 6 and about to be 4, and, you know, we got a little retention pond in our backyard, and, of course, they just want to go fishing. There's no fish in there, but they wanted to go fishing, and, you know, I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, just to keep you busy and keep you from running in the street. Like, whatever, I'm down to do it. So they're in there, and they're just, you should see my sons. They go to, like, wind back, and they go like this, and one of them end up throwing the rod into the lake. I'm like, nope, that's not how it goes. Now I got to go in there. Now I'm in this dirty pond, like, what's going on, you know, and whatnot. But they love those fishing pods so much. They love them that they ended up breaking them. And they had them for a good old 3 days. And then next year, you know, daddy, look what happened, right? They broke it, right? And, you know, they actually made it worse by trying to fix it themselves. Right? Then what happened was the fishing line got all tangled up, and, you know, my one son's pulling at it, you know, doing this, and then he's trying to do more, you know. He's just making it worse, right? And here's the troubling thing that happened next. They came to me next to fix it, right? Probably the last thing you should do, to ask me to fix it. Right? They realized they couldn't fix it themselves. They realized it was getting worse and worse. They realized, and they began to get more and more frustrated. So therefore, they went to someone who was incompetent to help them to fix it, right? And I couldn't, and therefore, they were even more frustrated. You know, I say all that because you and I, we know very well what it's like to have brokenness in our lives, right? You and I know what it's like to have a broken heart. You and I know what it's like to have a broken mind. You and I know what it's like to have a broken past, to have habits that are just hard to break. We have brokenness. And here's the truth, friend. Here's the truth. It's not the fact that we have brokenness. It's that we have the inability sometimes to fix what's broken. We try harder, try to untangle it, right? And eventually, because we realize we can't fix it ourselves, what do? We go to the other people, right? We go to other things. We distract ourselves, just hoping what's broken in us, others can help repair. But we're left more frustrated than before. We're left more upset and confused than before. And one thing that we realize that in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our inconsistencies, you name it, we have it. There's not one person in this room today that is immune to brokenness. We have it, and it's a part of our lives. It shows up daily. It shows up when we don't get our way. It shows up when we feel pressured. It shows up when we get fearful. It shows up quite a bit. And one thing that we realize, we can't fix ourselves. You can't change yourself. You can try to make improvements, right? But ultimately, you find yourself back to where you were before. And we realize that we can't change ourselves. We realize that we can't heal ourselves. We realize that we can't fix ourselves. And sometimes what happens is we end up stuck. You might feel stuck. We just feel stuck in the same cycles, repeating them over and over, only learning to manage and cope with our struggles, with our brokenness. But here's the one thing that we're going to realize today in today's passage. What we need, see, here's the thing. Our brokenness, it doesn't require more self-help. Our brokenness requires a savior. Does that make sense? Our brokenness doesn't require more of you. It requires a savior at work in you. It requires a savior who does a good work in you. That was part of our little huddle lesson for today. It requires a savior. And what we're going to read today, where we're going to land today, is that when you encounter Christ, he begins a work of restoration. Because only Jesus, only Christ can do for you what you can't do for yourself. Only Jesus can do for you the inconsistent you, the broken you. Only Christ can do for you for what you can't do for yourself. And when one encounters Jesus, he begins the work of restoration. He begins this work of restoration. So this is where we find ourselves in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be walking through a couple gospel narratives that we see within the scriptures, that we see within the New Testament. One thing I want you guys to know that when you read the Bible, when you read the Gospels, read it within its genres. The all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they write within a specific genre. Some of them, they're going to give more of the teachings of Jesus. Some of them going to give the miracles of Jesus. And then there's a lot of what we call the encounters. What Jesus was like when he met everyday people who had very similar brokenness like us. And what changed about them. Some of them, and we read about it last week when we went through the story or the narrative of the woman caught in adultery. Some of them, they don't end in miracles. They just end in lives being changed, which is a miracle. It ends up with hearts being changed, which is still the work of God. But this particular passage, we do find ourselves in a miracle, and it's the passage known as the deaf and mute man. And we're going to be walking through this passage, and we're going to begin at verse 31. Verse 31 sets all of it up, sets the whole thing up. But I want you to see how Mark, the writer, he doesn't just talk about the miracle. He talks about the heart of Jesus. See, so many of us, when we read, we just read about and we just try to discover, okay, what Jesus did, which is great, which is theologically where the Bible wants you to land at. But it's not just to be a uber focus on what Jesus does, but the Bible wants you to discover who Jesus is. It wants you to discover who is Christ. What is he like, right? What is he like? And that's what we're going to see. And so we pick up in verse 31. Look what it says in verse 31. We're going to pick up on this. It says this, verse 31. Then Jesus left the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the region of Decapolis. Stop there, because this is important. Why is this important? Because Mark isn't just giving us geography here. See, a lot of you, when we read this, you kind of look at this and be like, all right, this is kind of like the setup to the miracle. We just want to get to the miracle part. But no, this is something deeper going on in this particular passage. Notice the travel plans of Jesus. Notice it says Jesus went into, Jesus left, Jesus went through, right? Jesus was known as, it was known as an itinerant Jew, right? Which would admit that they traveled. Right? They traveled by foot. They went from city to city, town to town, region to region. But listen, this is not Mark telling you just what Jesus did. This is Mark unfolding to you who Jesus is. See, his actions as he went from town to town, his actions were purposeful. His travels were meant to highlight the purpose of his ministry. And what's the purpose of Jesus going from these towns, which would have been known now today as modern day, which is known today as modern day Lebanon? What was the purpose? Jesus' aim for his ministry was to seek and to save the lost. This is beautiful here. See, this is not just you, Mark telling us Jesus' travel plans. This is Mark telling us Jesus' heart. And what is Jesus' heart, friends? Jesus moves towards broken people. This is beautiful. Jesus moves towards broken people, because in every place, because in every region, because in every town, every village, there are real people carrying real burdens who had real brokenness. And Jesus, he made himself accessible. And Jesus, what is he doing in this? He's moving towards broken people. Right? See, I believe one of the things that we believe, a lie that we believe that in life, is that we always have to bring out the best qualities of ourselves. You ever notice that? You ever go through an interview and, you know, or you put it on your resume, you always put the best qualities of yourself, don't you? One time I remember going through an interview, they'll say, what would you say is your greatest weakness? And I say this, my greatest weakness is that I care too much. You want them to, right? You want them to see the best qualities of yourself, because we have this version that we believe about life, that we always have to present a polished self, a clean self, and we believe that. And sometimes we can translate that very belief into our relationship with God and say, well, God only wants the polished version of me. God only wants me when I get it right. God only wants it when I'm self-controlled and I'm not giving in to the triggers and I'm not giving in to the sin and I'm walking in all of this. We think that God only wants the polished versions of us. But here's what we read and here's what we see. Jesus doesn't pursue perfect people. He pursues real people who have real struggles, who have real brokenness, who have real inconsistencies, right? Jesus doesn't pursue the polished version of you. He moves towards what's real in you. The anxious you, the one that's anxious all the time. He moves towards the bitter you. He moves towards the struggling you. He moves towards the angry you, the one that's grieving. Right? Jesus, he's not here. That's why he tells us in the Gospels, he says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But the sick. And that's what the heart of Christ is, and we see in this passage. This isn't just Mark telling us his travel plans. This is Mark saying Jesus is drawing to real people with real burdens who need a real Savior. And his name is Jesus. And that's what we see in this. And so Mark tells us about Jesus traveling. But something happens as Jesus is traveling, as he gets to this place. And it picks up in verse 32. Verse 32 says this. Some people brought to him a man. Now here's where we get introduced to the character. We got introduced to Jesus, the main character, right?
the main character, and now we're introduced to another one. Some people brought to him a man who was deaf and hardly able to speak. Some of your translations say mute. And hardly able to speak, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on them. So here, let's take a step back. Now we're introduced to a man, and we're told about his condition. And let's enter into his world for a second. This man had speech and hearing impairment, right? Had speech and hearing impairment. And here's the thing about his condition. It affected every part of his life. It wasn't just the condition itself, the inability to hear, the inability to speak. It was how this affects his life. It was how it affects his life. It hindered him when it came to communicating with others. It probably hindered him relationally, left him feeling likely isolated, right? Maybe even feeling to a point, because of his condition, misunderstood. See, here's the thing that I believe Mark is trying to get us to know. He doesn't just want you to see him struggling physically. He most likely is probably struggling personally. Most likely struggling personally. Why am I bringing all this up? He has something he can't fix about himself. He has something he can't just fix. And because of what he has, it's hard for him to articulate what's going on in his life. It's hard for him to articulate. I have my three-year-old, he's about to be four, and man, he's so, so cute, and it's awesome. And you know, every time he talks, he tries to form sentences, but we can never understand him. It's the cutest thing ever, right? He'll say, "Can I go outside?" I'm like, "What? Can I go outside? You want to get what?" No, can I go outside? Oh, you want to go outside? Okay, I thought you were saying you're something else. I was about to tell you, we got to get pray for you, boy. But you want to go outside, right? And my wife and I, we laugh. It's cute. But he gets so frustrated because he has the words he wants to communicate. It's in his brain, but he has a hard time expressing it, articulating it, getting it through. We're laughing. We can't understand, but he's frustrated because he's unable to express it. Have you ever felt misunderstood? You ever felt? I mean, can we go there, church? Have you ever felt misunderstood? See, I believe some of the deepest pain is the pain we don't know how to put in words. I believe some of the deepest pain is the pain that we don't know how to put into words. We're hurting, and we know that we're struggling, but we just have a hard time just explaining it. And at the end of the day, sometimes we don't even understand ourselves. We don't even understand ourselves. And this is probably where this man is. And yes, you may not have a trouble of hearing, but you have something that's broken that's affecting a lot of your life. It's affecting a lot of your relationships. It's affecting you mentally. Heck, it may even be affecting you possibly physically, right? But what we're going to see here, something so beautiful that's going to happen. Before Jesus heals him, Jesus understands him. I love that about Jesus. Before Jesus changes you, he connects with you. Because here's the truth, friends. Here's the truth. He knows our fears. He knows our thoughts. He knows our wounds and knows our struggles. See, I think so many times we just want Jesus to fix something. But here's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to become real in your heart. Does that make sense? We often think that Christianity is just Jesus just simplifying all my problems. But here's what we're going to see in this passage, is that Christ doesn't just do quick fix miracles. What he does is he connects with your soul. He wants to connect to the thing of affliction. And so we see this happening in this passage. And Jesus, he's the one, as Tozer says, a great theologian, Jesus is the one who knows what's worst about you. And nonetheless, he's the one that loves you most. How beautiful is that? He knows what's worst about you, right? The thing that you're thinking about right now that you hope the person next to you doesn't find out, he knows that. And guess what? He wants to reach that. He wants to enter into that. And so that's what we see happening in verse 33. Look at verse 33. This is awesome. They bring this man to Jesus. They beg him. Hey, can you help him? And what does Jesus do? Now, very interesting. If you know the Gospels, when Jesus sees complication, right? Let's take the storm, right? Let's take the storm. When Jesus calms the storm, right? Jesus just says a word. Hey, storm, shut your mouth. And the storm stops, right? Hey, storm, be silent. And the storm that was raging, it just went, it goes quiet, right? Right. We see different methods of how Jesus heals, but Jesus does something very different here. Because before Jesus changes him, he actually connects with him. Look what it says in verse 33. It says, Jesus took him aside privately from the crowd. And he does something interesting here. Don't get too caught up in all the actions. But listen, and he put his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. Now, some of you might be like, bro, that's weird. What are we doing here, Jesus? Hey, like, listen, can you imagine somebody coming up to you going like this? Hey, come here. You'd be like, bro, we better back up. Right? But in ancient Israel, saliva was known as a healing a factor, indicator of healing, right? And but Jesus, notice, watch this. The man couldn't hear, and the man couldn't speak. And what does Jesus touch? His ears, his mouth. Well, what does that indicate? Christ addresses the affliction head on. He touched the brokenness. He touched what wasn't working. He touched it, right? And this is all drawing this beautiful image of Jesus, that his intentions are to connect to what is broken, to connect to the soul, right? Right? Because here's the thing that we need. We just don't need Jesus just to remove all of our pain. Again, we need him to become real in our hearts and our struggles. We don't just need solutions. We need a present and real Savior. Before we get to the miracle, before we get to the power of Christ, we're shown here the compassionate heart of Christ. And what's Christ's compassion? Christ personally meets people in their brokenness. He meets people in the brokenness, in the dysfunction, in the struggle. His presence and transforming work begins to weaken brokenness and sin's grip on us. And he begins to change us from the inside out, right? And here's what I want to say. The more Christ becomes real in your heart, the more brokenness and sin begin to lose their power over you. Let me say that one more time. Keep that up there for him, Eric, please. This is the premise of the sermon today. The more Christ becomes real in your heart, how does he become real? He becomes real when you allow him to touch what is broken. You allow him to enter into what is dysfunctional. You allow him to enter into all of the struggle. And the more Christ becomes real in your heart, the more brokenness and sin begin to lose its power over your life. So Jesus comes up and he does this weird thing. Right? Even as a pastor, I can say, that's a little bit interesting. It's a little bit interesting, but he's God. He can do it. Right? Created the world. I guess he can spit on his hand, you know? But But then he says something, does something next that lands home what's going on here. Look what happens in verse 35. So Jesus approaches him, pulls him to the side. Then he says this in verse 35. Immediately, Mark's favorite language. If you know the Gospel of Mark, he loves immediately. He says, immediately, the man's ears. Let me keep reading verse 34. Go back to verse 34. Looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply. Jesus sighed deeply and said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. Verse 35, immediately the man's ears were opened and his tongue was released and he began to speak plainly. I love this passage. It says Jesus sighed deeply, meaning when Jesus entered into his pain, he sighs deeply, meaning Jesus is not distant or cold towards what is broken in you. Jesus feels the weight and the heaviness of what is broken in you. He sees everything this man has carried for years. He sees everything this man has carried for years, and he sighs at this moment, right? And here's what I believe. His condition, it closed him off from hearing and from speaking. And here's one thing I've noticed. There have been things that have happened in our lives that have closed us off. We have wounds, real wounds. We have shame, real shame. We have disappointment, real disappointment, that has closed us off from trusting people, that has closed us off from hope, that has closed us off from grace, that has closed us off in a very, very real way, right? Because of the constant disappointment, because of the hurt, because of the struggle, because of the fear and all of that. And what we need, it says, Ephphatha in Aramaic, because the Bible is written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. In Aramaic, Jesus says, Ephphatha, which means be open. Here's what we need Christ to do in our lives. We need him to open our hearts today. This passage is not, look what Jesus can do to this man. The passage is, what does Christ need to do in me? I've been closed off for all too long. Why? Because brokenness has had so much control over my life. Sin has had so much control over my life. And what I need is a Savior, not just to undo the brokenness. I need the Savior to meet me in the brokenness, to meet me in this place and open my hearts, because Jesus restores what sin and brokenness have closed. Not just ears, but our hearts, our lives, our relationships, and maybe even our hope. There is brokenness and sin in your life. And those are the places that the Savior longs to reach for. Why? Because they are drowning your soul. Everything that is hurting in you, everything that you feel that you feel lost in, everything that is broken in you, that is the place Christ wants to touch. Jesus meets you where you are, but he doesn't leave you how you are. He wants to meet you in the dysfunction. He wants to meet you in this. Yes, he is a Savior who redeems us from sin, but he is a Savior who renews us from the brokenness that exists deep down within us. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But we need to connect to the Christ who can open up what brokenness has closed off in us. What brokenness has closed off in us. And you want to know the beautiful truth of this passage? Jesus isn't intimidated by your brokenness. He moves toward it. He understands it. He enters it, and he restores it. He isn't intimidated by it. Our prayer today is not, Lord, look at this wonderful, nice passage, but it's, I need a Ephphatha in my life. And a Ephphatha is not going to happen through my mere strength and my mere ability. It's going to happen when I allow the Savior to enter into and touch what is broken, what is off in me. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you. I love you. But from this passage, I'm realizing more and more I need you. I need your very presence. I need your grace because it is sufficient. I need your love. I need to hear your voice. I need the touch of Christ to come into my life. I need Christ to touch the areas that have affected me personally, that have affected me mentally, that have affected me relationally. Because whatever Christ touches, it ends with beauty. Because you bring beauty from ashes. And Lord, there is much ugliness in my life. And that ugliness has closed my heart. But you are the one who opens not just deaf ears, but who opens broken hearts. Lord, here I am today. I am here to worship. I am here to bow down. I am here to call you my God. But I'm also here to say, Lord, there are areas in me only the Savior can undo and renew. There are areas in me that have affected my life, that have affected my soul. And I don't need more self-help. I don't need more people. I need more of the presence of the Savior God himself, Jesus. Lord, let today's step be not, this is a good message, but let this step be, we have a perfect Savior. We have a perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. So Lord, open up our hearts, open up our minds. Let us be prepared and ready to receive your goodness and grace. It's in your perfect Son's name is who we pray. Amen and amen.